Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Sermon for today, Sunday next before Easter, commonly called Palm Sunday. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In his bio, the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. It seems to me that our Wednesday Bible classes this Lent have been particularly stimulating. They are sometimes maddening and depressing and infuriating too, but always stimulating. Till this past week, both classes were working their way through particular gospels. As we studied them, I found myself saying quite frequently, we read the Gospels through the eyes of St. Paul. We have to read them through St. Paul. The first three Gospels, St. Matthew, St. Mark, and St. Luke, are concerned primarily with telling a story. They give us a narrative of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. As is true of anyone telling any sort of story, the gospel writers interpret the story through how they present it and what they add and leave out and by the things they emphasize especially. But those gospels give us very little of what I would call direct interpretation. Giving direct interpretation would be, here is what happened, now here is what it means. We get very little of that from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, though somewhat more of it from St. John. What is especially striking is that they don't bother to explain what the high points of the story mean. We know precisely what the high points are because we enumerate them in the Creed. They include Jesus' birth, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. So we need answers to two critical questions. First, what does all this mean? Second, what does all this have to do with me? To get the answers, we have to turn to the letters of St. Paul. To say that is not to speak ill of the Gospels. The letters of St. Paul without the Gospels would not be enough either. The Gospels and the Epistles work together, a tribute to the genius of God, the Holy Ghost, who moved the church to write and to choose the books of the New Testament. In several short verses in today's epistle, taken from his letter to the Philippians, St. Paul explains what Jesus' birth means. He explains what Jesus' life was all about. He interprets today's gospel, which is St. Matthew's account of Jesus' final suffering and death. And he explains Jesus' subsequent resurrection and ascension. And if that weren't enough, he also tells us how his explanation should affect our own daily behavior. St. Paul is trying to get the members of his church in Philippi to try to get along with one another and to take care of one another. The only way that can happen is if nobody thinks he is better than everyone else is. St. Paul tells them, just before today's passage begins, do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. That is incredibly difficult teaching to follow. None of us is terribly humble or much inclined to self-sacrifice. That innately selfish sinfulness is exacerbated by the acquisitive and competitive nature of our society. We resist humility, and we don't like to put others ahead of ourselves. That is because of both nature and nurture, as they say. St. Paul says, so you don't want to be humble or unselfish. Then how about taking a look at Jesus? Jesus was God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, in existence from before time began. Jesus has been the active agent in the whole creation, from let there be light until now. That position and that accomplishment compares favorably even with the greatness and wonderfulness that makes us think we are better than everyone else is. But Jesus did not think that his position was something he had to hang on to. When his father asked him to do it, he poured out of himself all his godly position and all of his divine power, and he became a human being. Not that there is anything wrong with being human, but it is a bit of a step down from the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus not only humbled himself to become a human being, but he also became a servant sort of human being. Not a king, not a president, not a religious leader, not a prominent figure in the community, not even terribly middle class, but a servant. And not only did he become a human servant, he did everything else his father asked him to do. And that turned out not only to include the humiliation and suffering St. Matthew told us about this morning, but also the ugly, ignominious, dirty, spiteful death he also described. So you think you are too good to try to put other people's needs ahead of your own selfish concern. You're above reaching out and helping. St. Paul says, take a look at the crucifix and remind yourself that that is God himself hanging up there, and he is hanging up there for you. So let this mind be in you, which it was also in Christ Jesus. Now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.